Verse number 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Tonight I want to talk to us about something that I know very little about, and that's gardens. I want to preach to us tonight about three gardens. Three gardens. Amen. You see, the Word of God, you can find gardens talked about all throughout the Bible. Amen. You can see vineyards that are mentioned, and farming and agriculture is a major part. In fact, amen, we even learn about the law of reaping and sowing and reaping in the Bible. Amen. We find a lot about farming and a lot about gardening, and we find that the book opens up with a garden. After it goes through the 7 days of creation, we find in Genesis chapter number 2 that the Bible opens up with a garden. It talks about the Garden of Eden. I wonder what it had been like, amen, to see the Garden of Eden. There's a lot of people that's trying to find where the Garden of Eden was. And Brother Miller, I was at Brother Miller's church a few weeks ago, amen, and he was telling me about some sisters that come to him asking questions about the Garden of Eden, and they was going through different things, and they was trying to find, and they wanted to know where the Garden of Eden was. And so Brother Miller, he was trying to be as cordial to them as he could, and it was kind of interesting what they was trying to find out, and I won't tell you about that right now, but anyway, and so we find a lot of people wonder about the Garden of Eden, and it must have been a beautiful thing to see the Garden of Eden. It must have been wonderful to see before pollution ever touched it, amen, before man ever touched it. We don't know. Sure, we can see beautiful places. I've been out to Montana. Hey, amen. I helped Jim and Peggy go out there to Montana. And oh, how beautiful it was there at Glacier National Park. It looked like the finger of God had touched it. Hey, amen. It was a wonderful thing, hey, amen, to see that place. But I wonder what it was like in the Garden of Eden before industrial pollution ever come about, before any of the things. It must have been a beautiful place. Amen. We find that a lot of things occurred in the Garden of Eden. We find there, that's where, amen, God put mankind at. Amen, that's where he put Adam, was in that Garden of Eden. Amen, but not only that, we find just in the next chapter, later down in the chapter, amen, that's where Adam got his wife at. Amen, that's where God created woman at. Where womankind got her start was there in the Garden of Eden. Amen, it must have been a wonderful thing to be there in the garden, to see the fruit, to see the trees, to see the rivers. It must have been a wonderful thing. Amen, but then we find, amen, the garden became cursed. Why? Amen, because of the sin, amen, of Adam and Eve. We find there in the garden that we find, amen, it was there that the garden was cursed and mankind was cursed. Oh, friend, I want you to know tonight, amen, it must have been a terrible thing that day, amen, whenever they find that God was going through the garden saying, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? What a terrible scene it must have been. Amen. To see as the sword was placed there. Amen. And the cherubim was there. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, amen, that first garden, oh, scarred forever.
And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I speak to thy disciples that they could cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Now notice that Jesus had to tell them to bring him unto them because the disciples could not help him. Verses 25 and 26 says, And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. For the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch as many said, He is dead. Now I want to speak to you on where is God? Where is God? Now, the first thing I want to bring out is you know, what is it that this world, that the people of this world are attracted to? You know, what is it that attracts them? I mean, they're drawn to a lot of things, you know, and I mean, if you haven't noticed, that not a lot of them are drawn to our Christian movement. And they're drawn to where, you know, they've turned to many things, you know. I mean, they turn to pornography. I mean to you know, anything that could give them pleasure, that they could they try to get help from. Now, these people, if you'll notice in verse 25, the Bible says, And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. So you know that from the testimony, from what everybody heard from Jesus, that the people loved to be around Jesus. Now, what was the reason for that? Because Jesus had the answer to their need. I'm reminded of a story that my dad tells all the time about this, about these two drunk men. They were staggering around. They came up to the church house, and they said, one of them said, let's look in there and see what those Christians do. And so one of them got on his hands and knees, and the other one crawled up him and looked inside and could barely peek over the window. And he looked and he said, What do you see up there? And one drunk man said, and the other one said, I don't know, but whatever they're trying to get a hold of, they're sure bored of it. You know, that really strikes me, because, you know, I feel like that I've got the greatest thing in this world. The people turned to Jesus because he had the answer to them. If they were some afflicted in their body, all they had to do was to come to Jesus. He could heal them. He could save them. He could set them free, deliver them. I mean, he had all the answers. But you know, Jesus wasn't on this earth but just for 33 years. And he died, and then he rose on the third day, and we all know the story, and he was transfigured, and he was taken back up to heaven. And it seemed like that the God that was here for 33 years, that God abided with us, and that he walked with you know, Peter and the rest of the disciples, and they could see what he'd done, and people could come to him for their needs. And then he left. But you know what? I'm reminded of whenever I was studying this out, I looked up in Matthew 1:23. And it stated that God, it was going through the generations, and then whenever it came to Jesus, it said that his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so God, we know that whenever Jesus was born and put on this earth, that God was abiding with man, that they could talk to him, that he was in their presence, that they could come to Jesus, I mean, and see him and know him. And they had a relationship with him. But what? Whenever Jesus left, what did they have to turn to? Whenever the 120 gathered in the upper room and began to cry out and began to wait on the Spirit, what God had promised, the promise. What happened there? In Acts 2. verses 1 through 4, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." You see, Jesus left this world. But whenever Peter and all of them gathered in, all the 120 gathered up into the upper room, what happened there? What was it that happened? I'll tell you what happened. God came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and not only abided with them, but now He abided in them. You see, now you see, we don't just have access to talking with Him. We have access with Him being in us. And whenever people need help, and whenever they need, and whenever people, what they need to be attracted to is not Jesus being with us, but now they can be attracted to us because Jesus is actually in us. Do you understand what I'm trying to get to? You see, God left, but then sent God back. And gave it to us just like that. And now anyone can have Jesus, not only talk to Him beside Him, but can have Him abiding inside of Him. And how much more can we show people God now? How much more? Where is God now? God isn't, they can't just come to Him and talk to Him anymore, but now they can come to us and talk to Him. Why? Because of the light. The Bible says that we should be a light. Jesus is the light of that city. And you realize that now whenever Jesus is abiding with us, now people come to us, and we should have the power to whenever they see us, they see Jesus. Whenever they look at us, they see the light coming out through us. Now not only do we have Jesus abiding with us, but we have Him in us. Thank you.
I'm glad to be here tonight, be in service with you. I was reading my Bible and praying this afternoon, just trying to think on what God was wanting me to say. And when Jesus died on the cross, after He came back, He met I don't have any notes here. I kind of got up here. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth shall not be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He said, them that believe. Not Brother Collins or Brother Davis or any preacher shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. But us. Everyone in the church. And that all goes back to why, to where, how having Jesus in our heart and having the Holy Spirit in us to guide us and to lead us. Because without Him, we wouldn't have power over anything. And we often put limits on God. We say, well, one time I was riding in the car with Todd, and my car started messing up, and I said, well, I think I'm gonna pray, and you know, maybe God will fix it for me. And I got to driving down the road, you know, I kept on praying, and the car kept on fouling up, and I got out and checked it and got back in, and we drove on a little longer, and well, we broke down. Pulled over to the side of the road, and later on I got down there, and there was a wire unplugged to the alternator, ran out of battery, and I couldn't get it, so I plugged it back in, and I got in the car, and I said, well, it's not like God would come down and plug that wire in. But later on, I got to thinking, why couldn't he? You know, he's God. He created the earth. He's the God that stopped the sun. He's the God that parted the ocean. He's my God that delivered me. He's God that died on the cross for me to wash my sins away. He's God that healed your daughter-in-law. And I'm sure many times he's God that healed you. Each and every one of us has been delivered by God and helped by God. And one thing I feel like we lack in the church is praise. God dwells in praise. He likes to hear praise. And the Bible says, oh my God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery in heart, I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and answer me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem and meet out of the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is also in the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver, Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. I'm going to change that around a little bit. In Psalms 108:8, he said, Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine. These were places that were enemies against David. And what he's saying there is, victory is mine. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, who has cast us off? And wilt not thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom?
Well, watch the swelling tide. I watch my loved ones cross over to the other side. Well, I had this funny feeling that it won't be long I just caught a glimpse of the promised land. I think I'm almost home. See the promised land, one more mile. I leave my cares behind, rest for a while. Families gathering in for the victory song. Well, I can see the promised land, I'm almost home. See the promised land, one more mile. I leave my cares behind, rest for a while. Families gathering in for the victory song. Well, I can see the promised land, I'm almost home. Yes, I can see the promised land. Hallelujah. Won't that be a sight? Praise God. Let's do this. This thing's out of tune anyway. Let's put her in D. We'll do it. Some lawyers can win, and a doctor can heal. Your old banker can lend till all your pockets are filled. But if yours is the case of a sin-stricken soul, with the problems you face, there's only one place to go. Just climb up that mountain where still springs a fountain, that sparkling crimson called Calvary's flow. Oh, that same Jesus you've heard of can take a black heart without love, wash it with red blood, and make it whiter than snow. What a miracle! Don't you fumble along life with all your luck and your skill, 'cause you can't play the cards that death's gonna deal. For the Bible has planned who the loser's gonna be. There's only two winning hands, and they were nailed to a tree. Just climb up that mountain where still springs a fountain, that sparkling crimson called Calvary's flow. That same Jesus you've heard of can take a black heart without love, wash it with red blood, make it whiter than snow. Just climb up that mountain where steel springs a fountain, that sparkling crimson called Calvary's flow. That same Jesus you heard of can take a black heart without love. Yes, he can. Wash it with red blood, make it whiter than snow. Don't you gamble on life with all your luck and your skill, 'cause you can't play the cards, listen to me, that death's gonna deal. For the Bible has planned who the loser's gonna be. There's only two winning hands, listen to me, and they were nailed to a tree. He'll just climb up that mountain where steel springs a fountain, that sparkling crimson called Calvary's flow. That same Jesus you've heard of can take a black heart without love. Hallelujah. and wash it with red blood and make it whiter than snow. Just climb up that mountain where still springs a fountain that sparkling crimson called Calvary's blood. That same Jesus you heard of could take a black heart without love, and he washed it with red blood and make it whiter than snow.